what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but a merry heart does make like medicine, and a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Boy, I really like that one. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Never forget, media stands for making everyone dumber in America. Thank you. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use? Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Don't do that. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because God said I could. That's why. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more.
Living this life, not always easy running.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. We've done this before, but this is a really good one. So I'm going to drop this in your lap and just make you go a little deeper, so don't get upset about it. Here we go. Here's the question I'm asking. Again, if money was no object, what would you do in life? Wow. What a challenge, right? Wow. If money was no object, didn't matter, what would you do in life? Wow. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. Just reach out to us and give us a call. You call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Dynamite! Yeah, talking to Dynamite D is like getting ready to pay a bill and then finding out you don't owe anything.
That is a great feeling.
That is like, that is like, lotto! I won the lotto! Thank you very much. Okay, also, by the way, you can call us, you can text us. That's kind of cool, too. Gives you a little bit of, you know, kind of a safety space for someone need it. That's 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. Here comes the semi-professional voice.
214-210-8483. There you go.
Very good one.
There you go. Also, by the way, you can email us because the email still works. The light is still on. The Chromebook, the top of it, still staying upright, which is kind of nice.
It's still going along.
It's still there. It's been around for a little while, just to let you know. You can do that. Email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at He Must Increase. Coming off of John 3:30, He Must Increase, I Must Decrease. That's the ministry that runs the show, or that is the overseer of the show. david@hemustincrease.org. So that you can know that. Additionally, we're going to send you up to the website. Several cool things on the website. Let me tell you this. There are some older sermons that I have taught. And I'm telling you, even it's not, I'm not trying to, there's nothing to this. There, even though they're older, there's some times where you hear something, even if it's 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, even 100 years old. I mean, it just touches you in a certain way. Listen to some of those if you need an encouragement. There's a lot of encouragement in those sermons, and I encourage you to be encouraged. Actually, the scripture says be encouraged. Additionally, on the website is an opportunity to give, and we love that now, and we're changing Dave's attitude. Have you noticed that my attitude is changing a little bit there? It's moving
just
a little bit. It's a little. Not a ton, but a little bit, yeah. And here it is. Romans 12:13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Giving is a part of that, and when we get into the text today, you're going to go, you set that up. No, it's 2 Corinthians 8, the very next thing we're teaching on, and you can't escape it.
And let me say this, Dave. I was just joking. You have kind of, I've seen a shift, but I love how you're coming at it biblically too, though, Dave.
Well, I think it's the biblical truth. The problem is it's my struggle, right? So I've done a better job since I've been doing this, just between me and the audience. I'm doing better giving, and that's helping me in the process.
That is a great point.
So that's helping me. Like, oh, yeah, I get it. I get it a little more. So anyway, don't forget Romans 12:13. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Right? And we're going to reach into new saints. New saints. And Manosa says contribute to the needs of the saints. It's the people of God that need help, right? It's not the saints in heaven already. Hello, they don't need anything. It's the people of God. And we're going to be reaching out to people in San Diego like that starting August 7th, a week from this Monday. And so when we get there, so you'll hear me do a couple of rev up some promos that'll sound like that, sound like it's all going now. It doesn't happen for about 12 days, but I do want you to be aware we're going to try and minister to those saints. That's our goal. If you can contribute, great. If you can't do it financially, be a prayer warrior. We need that. I implore you, without any reservation, join the cause by praying with us in the process. Please check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
That's right. We don't need roads. We need faith. That's what opens the roads.
Yep.
Now you like dem apples. Oh, good one, good one. Right off the top of that. We're going to open up with a prayer for spiritual warfare. And the reason is D mentioned something he's going through on my phone call with some of the brothers in the last couple of days. Each one mentioned the same thing. My son mentioned the same thing. Some of the people that are very close to the show mentioned the same thing. It seems to be like the warfare has picked up against Christians. It's not that it's not been there. It's just increasing or more active or something. And I think everybody can kind of, I don't know about feel it in the air, but you just kind of like get this sense, yikes, there's more stuff going on.
You know the thing about warfare, Dave, that's so fascinating and interesting? You have a week or a day or a month where you're just on fire, and then it's like, you know, you're dealing with that like, you know, it's funny that dichotomy, like you're punching strong and then you get kind of weak and you get down, so we definitely have to keep each other lifted.
And it's not abnormal. I'm going to want you to know, when you've gone to, if you've ever gone to a Christian conference, if you've gone to a worship conference, a Bible conference, some kind of, and it's not just like a topic conference. It's just the group of fellowship, the whole thing. You get supercharged. I mean, you do. It's totally normal. It's like I'm just going to give it a comparison. It's like people that like sports, they go to a ball game. Hey, they're supercharged. But then there's a letdown oftentimes, and the enemy seems to take advantage of that. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to cover us and keep us. We know we need to walk in the armor, so nobody's missing that. But we still, one of the things that the armor is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, covering the whole armor is all kinds of prayers. That's one of the things that covers in the armor. Let's do that. Father, we come before you right now. We love you. We praise you. We acknowledge you. You are so gracious to us. It's just there's not words that we can offer up to you that will be sufficient to reach the level of graciousness that you've poured upon us. And many of us seem to be going through a little bit of it's either an uptick or our awareness is higher or just the enemy is taking more advantage of society. Whatever's going on, Lord, doesn't matter, because you are greater than the circumstance, the frustration, the misunderstandings, the dealings, the warfare that we're going through. You're greater than any wrestling we do, because you are in complete control. You are the king of the universe. And as your kids, we're coming to you. We're coming to you humbly, and to some degree, Lord, we're coming to you and sitting in your lap and saying, Dad, I'm getting beat up a little. I need a little help. Can you please help me? And we ask you, for those of us that are going through that, that you would give us a sense of refreshment and confidence, a trust that you are listening and that you are not just aware, but are active on our behalf. We lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. That's how we roll. That's how we roll.
Yeah, better okay. strength than that.
That's it. All right. We are in 2 Corinthians. Don't forget to be praying for one another in the audience. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and this is going to be, I'm going to have to split this up. It's a very interesting portion. The part that's really cool, I'm not going to get to the next section, but the whole thing's cool, but there's really something cool here. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, Paul writes, "Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace of God." What am I talking about? I'm talking about the grace of God. The grace of God given the churches of Macedonia. Whoa, churches of Macedonia got the grace of God going. Cool. Verse 2, in their terrible ordeal, they suffered, and their abundant joy and deep poverty overflowed into rich generosities. For I testify that they have given according to their ability and even beyond it. So let's just back it up so that we can kind of get a feel for what's going on. Paul, truly remarkable here. He begins by discussing the concept of giving. And while it's not a popular topic, as you heard me talk about in the beginning of the show, it is one that cannot be overlooked. It's got to be addressed biblically. There's a large portion of giving in the Bible. But what's the deal on that? The initial focus is on the grace God has bestowed upon the churches in Macedonia specifically concerning their generous contributions. In this context, giving is referred to as both a grace and a gift, emphasizing its significance and the blessing it brings. So one of the things, again, to my own shame, one of the things that we haven't done on the show is talk about the truth that when we are giving people, and it doesn't have to be to this ministry, but you do have to be a giver in the kingdom, the Lord looks at that and uses that vessel, that vehicle of faith, and he calls the giving that we do a grace and a gift. And the Lord loves that because, you really want to know where it's going to go from this one? Watch this. For God so loved the world that he gave. That giving is an act of love. You can't separate it, pull it back. Of course it is. And in the case where the Lord is giving his one and only begotten son, it's a sacrificial giving, just to let everybody know. It's not the stuff that's left over. It's not that the stuff that's left over isn't a blessing for different situations, but that's the wrong spirit in giving. The spirit in giving should be giving unto God. You see, what you're saying to God is, I'm so appreciative of everything you've done. I'm gonna give this back to you. The best that I can do to say to you, the best of what I have is yours. I want you to have my best. In fact, scripturally, if you go through Exodus and you go through Leviticus specifically in Deuteronomy, if you give God less than your best, he is not happy. Just so you can know. You not only do you want to be a cheerful giver, but you would like God to be the cheerful receiver in the sense that he would like him to be like smiling, right? He loves a cheerful giver, which means he doesn't love a non-cheerful giver. I mean, that's kind of where you can get that. And the reason I bring it up, again, not for us as a ministry alone, for everywhere, anywhere. I'm a little bit bigger believer in doing multiple places to give versus just one. That's just me. I'm not putting that on anybody. That's not how it should be. But we give to probably about 10 different places because there's 10 different places that we get blessings from.
Oh, wow, Dave. Surprised by that.
So the reason I think that's really good is because some of that, there's a nonprofit company that does a lot of academic work for people to study, and they're a nonprofit. So I give to them because I use some of their material. I think that's how you do that. It's like, that's good. And then to the churches we go to and the different ministries, we give and kind of like as we try to commune with the Lord, we try to connect it that way. That way, giving, let me just say this, that way giving is not a bill. Because I think that's the big problem for us in America is we make giving a bill. You know what it should be? It should be a grace. It should be a gifting. There should be a whole nother spirit that's attached to it. And I ain't talking about, you know, a cheap spirit. I'm talking about giving it to God, spreading it out, wherever. That's just my take on it, but, you know. But the coolest thing is coming up when we get back, all right? Now, here again is how it's going to sound in about 10 or 12 days as we take the break. Go. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, and on KAM 1240, the Christian Station in San Diego. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
He's not trying to communicate in a weird sense. He's telling everybody that's there when they're like, hey, dude, your mom and your bros, man, out there, right here. They're coming right here. And Jesus is like, you know who my mom and my bros are? They're the people that hear the word of God and do it. And we had a presidential candidate not too long ago, I will not name him, who specifically, and nobody can tell me he didn't say it because I heard every word, specifically said, we got to make our three priorities, family, faith, and friends. That guy is so wrong, I thank God Almighty he never became president. Why? Because family does not come before faith. If it does, you are in trouble. Jesus said in Matthew 10:27, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Uh-oh. This is like, well, he didn't mean it. Oh, because then he said this right after, or if you love your son and daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. I didn't mean that either. It's like, see, you can't get away from it. Because you love your mother, you love your father, you love your son, you love your dad, you love anybody more than me, you are in trouble. Okay? Here's the bottom line. There's nothing wrong with family. There's nothing wrong with friends. But they are behind your faith. Your faith is first. You want to know why? You want me to give you the math on the whole issue? Yeah, I'm going to give you the math. You know? I mean, numbers don't lie. It's just people who use numbers that lie. Okay? Here you go. Ready? 80, 90, or 100 years versus 60 billion, gazillion, trazillion years. Which one's bigger? Okay? 80, 90 years, 100 years. That's family and friends. Your faith, a zillion, bazillion, gazillion, trazillion, a bazillion years. Get it? Math doesn't lie. It's just the people that use math. So don't forget this. Statistics don't lie. It's just the people that do them. You know, studies don't lie. It's just the people that write them.
The David Spoon Experience.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All others.
Oh. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. And soon, and coming soon, also welcoming back K-Bright, AM 1240, the Christian Station in beautiful San Diego. Bright, by the way, like the sun. Ha ha. I like that. It's like, this is a good one, right?
That's a nice
there.
Little add-on.
Yeah, I like it. All right, so we have our trivia question. We're going to do it. And then Dee brought up a question. He's like, yeah, maybe we should add trivia in that first segment to help some of those people get involved and involved. It's like, that's a good idea. You guys need to be praying for us so that we know what to do. Because I can tell you right now, Dave don't know everything.
It's faith, Dave.
Yeah, it is literally by faith that everything we're doing on this. Here's your first trivia question. Get ready for it. Very interesting. You guys should get this Old Testament in the poetry section. That's a big hint. In the poetry section, who is described as perfect and upright as a person and one that feared God? Who's described as perfect and upright and one that feared God? It's one of the poetry books. You guys should get this. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. And then additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Which Old Testament character was thought of, which Old Testament person was thought of as perfect and upright? That should be your little hint there. The word perfect is in the King James translation. So that should also maybe help you a little bit. In the meantime, what we'll do is go to our DNA, because we love DNA. DNA is our building blocks that we exist by. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Just spend time with the Lord every day, separated time, so that you can be refreshed and renewed by his presence. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, because OPM, other people matter. And when we take some of the energy that we're using, focusing on our own blah, and put that on other people and get into their lives, you find out that not only is life lighter and easier, but you get to rejoice more often because you're sharing in their victories as well. Kind of a cool little thing right there. Okay. Don't have a lot of time, but want to get straight to it. There is an Old Testament person in the King James that said it specifically. This is one of the poetry books. Do you remember what the poetry books are? It is Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Psalms, and Job. Those are the five that are there. So out of those five books, which Bible person did they say was described as perfect and upright and one that feared God? If you can't get it from that, I cannot help you.
I needed that little hint, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can get. I can't give you any more. That's just, okay. Back to the text. We only have a certain amount of time. Let's get to it. I'm going to feel like this like for a while, like I'm being rushed, but it's what it is. Going back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the churches of Macedonia in their terrible ordeal they suffered. In the terrible ordeal they suffered, their abundant joy and deep poverty overflowed into rich generosity. For I testify that they gave according to their ability and even beyond it. On their own accord, they pleaded earnestly. Listen to this. They pleaded earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Can you imagine somebody saying, I beg of you, let us give to you? That's what they did. Verse 5, and not only did they do as we expected, but then they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us because it was the will of God. So not only did they do what they said they were going to do, then they gave themselves to the Lord and to the people. Now, here's what people are not aware of in this text, and I just need to tell you this. The church at Corinth loaded. That's like the church at Beverly Hills. They must be doing pretty good. The church at Macedonia, not loaded. Nice way to put that.
Great way to say
it. Let me say that. Southfield, Michigan. If anybody knows Michigan at all, you're like going, oh, really? Yeah. Ooh, ow. Yeah, ow. Like, ow. That's wow. So here you have a church that Paul's writing to talking about a church that is not affluent like they are. And this is what Paul says. He says, they gave according to their ability. They gave even beyond their ability. And they gave, and it was a blessing. They even asked for the privilege of giving. And it's just like you're like going, wait, what? Wait, what? Can you imagine a church going, we want the opportunity to give?
That's a lot there, Dave.
That's a lot there that maybe we're missing. So here's what you got to see. The Macedonian people were not affluent. They belonged to a Gentile church. They chose to give to the church in Jerusalem filled with Jewish believers out of a deep compassion for the sufferings of their brothers and sisters. What's more, they didn't just give within their means. They went above and beyond it, and they gave what they could. They gave even more. It was just an act of selflessness and generosity, which God recognized and acknowledged in the scriptures. So Paul highlights the fact the Macedonians were acting on their own. They eagerly embraced the opportunity to participate in giving. While Paul had anticipated them doing something, they did even more than Paul thought they were going to do. And they committed themselves to the service of God because they knew their giving was first to God. And then the giving to the ministers and the people and so on and so forth. It's like, you know what it is? I'm just going to say, you ever heard of the concept, a proof of concept, proof of point, or proof point, so on. So everybody knows what that is, right? This is, for those that want to know, this will blow your mind if you know what I'm talking about. This is a proof of grace. Their giving is a proof of grace, that the grace of God touched their hearts. And come on. Like, yikes. I want to be one zillionth of that. That's exactly, it's just awesome. All right. Who was described as perfect and upright in the Old Testament, the poetry books? One that feared God, somewhere between Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And the answer is Job. It's in the King James, it says he was perfect, which, mature, complete, whatever. But in the King James, it did say he's perfect. That's what it says. Okay. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill. Can't stand the shame.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The word gospel means good news. Now, that's fun. That's funny in the sense that when people think of God, they always think of judgment and wrath. But the fact of the matter is God even creating us gives us a sense of understanding that there is a commitment, a love, a connection to us. And that is, get ready, good. That's a good thing. So if you take a look around, right, just take a little look around. If you watch television, listen to the radio, like us, search the internet, get on Facebook, read magazines, the one thing that you're going to notice that there is very little gospel or good news in the world. You want to know why? One, good news doesn't sell. So let's just be honest, right? If you've been in media for any length of time, you know if it bleeds, it leads. That's the mindset. And it has to do with money. It has to do with power. So that power, that money, that influence, which actually has a demonic origin, but that all is connected towards not good news. Because not good news means that you'll be paying attention because there's so much going on. In fact, there's a fear, a terror, an anxiety, a doubt, even a doom that's within the world. And here's the kicker. If you are personally experiencing these diseases in your life, it's likely that you and I are allowing foul influences of the world to affect us. But Jesus brought a different slant on life. In John 14:27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Well, why not as the world gives? Because everything the world gives is a lie. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. When we live our lives more freely from trouble, it means that we're walking more closely with the King of Kings. He wants us to be free from fear and trouble in the worldly sense. So the question is, how is our heart doing? How are we doing on the inside? Are we free or are we in bondages? Because remember, Jesus did come to set the captives free, right? In Psalm 112, verse 7, King David writes, "He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." We need to be free from troubled and fearful hearts.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.